On Wednesday, Sarah talked about the four unities of walking with God, and you know, I was just considering what to speak on this morning, and I was kind of quickened with that thought that she touched on from Psalm 86. And I wanted to look at that, just some thoughts from that psalm with you this morning. And Psalm 86 is one of the Psalms of David. In fact, it's one of only five psalms that are entitled a prayer. Right? It's like it was David's prayer to the Lord. And we're going to see it was during some difficult times, right? Some challenging times. As, you know, we've all faced challenging times and we've prayed and we're like, how do I even pray in this situation? Well, David, here was his prayer when he cried out to God. And it's difficult actually to tell. You know, you like to study the Psalms and say, well, this happened in this period in David's life. This one is hard to pin down. But we do know that it was a time of testing. Right? And we can see that in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 86. It says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Now, David was a king, so he was pretty rich, right? But in his situation, he was poor and needy because he couldn't fix it. He couldn't do it himself. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. For thou, my God, save thy servant that trusts in thee. And so God was taking David through times of being poor and needy, you know, where he just needed God. And you know, it's not necessarily a result of a weakness or sin that we know of in this situation. It's hard to know where the psalm falls in David's life. We know he wasn't perfect, but yet, you know, he was walking with God. But even in Christ's life, wasn't he brought to that place where he was poor and needy? In fact, it talks about that in Psalm, I didn't put it in there, in Psalm 109, it talks about him that he says, I'm a poor and needy man. You know, kind of prophetic of Christ's life and his experiences. He was brought low on the cross. And sometimes God brings us here, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. Now, I'm not talking about God emptying our bank accounts, which sometimes he might have to do if our trust is too much on that. But, you know, really, it's that he brings us to a place where he kind of takes away all of our excuses, you know, and all of our ways of trusting in ourselves. And he takes those away and say, okay, you're going to trust in me. We still have the choice, but it's a lot easier at that point because, you know, we really need him. And so he brings us to that place where we're poor in ourselves. Right, poor on our own strength, poor on our own abilities because we can't fix it, poor on our own will. And we just cry out and say, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm dependent upon you. I'm needy for you. And, you know, it's that time where he can make us poor in spirit. But it's the poor in spirit who inherit. They're partakers of the kingdom of God. They receive from the kingdom of God. Those who are rich in themselves, it's not said that of them. They can't experience the kingdom of God. And I'm not talking again about bank accounts, but those who are rich in their own ways of following their own pathway in life, they can't experience the kingdom of God like those who are just reliant upon the Lord and upon walking in his way. So here David is kind of sharing his situation. And what's good about this psalm is he gives us keys for how we can meet God in these times where we're poor in spirit. And specifically, I want to focus on one of the most prominent verses in this psalm, you know, one that we looked at on Wednesday in verse 11, Psalm 86 in verse 11. It says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And in this little verse, there are kind of three keys to meeting with God as we're brought into those difficult situations, as we're brought low. You know, because our goal is not just to be brought low, but to come back up. Right? And that's not God's goal. He doesn't just say, here's another weight to bear and likes to see us brought down. It's for a purpose. It's so that we'll raise back up as Christ rose again from the dead and triumphed over the enemy, triumphed over death, and we can rise with him to experience the fullness of the kingdom of God. And so David's cry was, Lord, teach me your ways. Right? Even David, when he was king, he still had some things to learn from God. He still wanted to know those things from God that would help him, that would cause him to overcome and triumph. You know, David had the scriptures, right? He had a comprehension of God and the ways of God, but yet he was still crying out, Lord, teach me your ways. And so he desired more than just to understand the principles of God, but he wanted to know what God had for him. In fact, the original meaning of this Hebrew word teach is to point or mark the way. Lord, mark out my pathway. Show me the way that I need to walk. So it's like he's saying, Lord, reveal my path to me because I can't understand it right now. It's kind of hidden from me, and I need to make a decision. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do I go in this situation? How do I respond to this? In Psalm 27, verse 11, there's that similar prayer where he says, teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Right? Because of the difficulties I'm going through, Lord, I need to know. I need to understand. And so often in life, the pathway is not clear, right? And that's true for everyone. God takes us through situations sometimes where we know the steps. Like, hey, God's leading me in this way. I'm confident. I know where I'm going. And other times it's like, well, I kind of know in general where I'm going. I'm following God, but I sure couldn't use some help in seeing where my pathway. And so we cry out to God, Lord, show me the way to go. Lead me in a plain or a clear path. Don't let it be ambiguous. Sometimes God leads us in an ambiguous pathway where it's just like, okay, I know just this step. I don't know what's beyond that, but I'm going to trust God. But as we are faithful, He'll direct us, and He'll give us even confirmations. You know, I was sharing about Adrian, you know, just, you know, we're inquiring of the Lord. Lord, what is it? What do you have for Adrian? And you know, the Lord, we felt the Lord speaking about New York. And we're like, New York, but she's down in Florida. But as she was faithful to just respond to the Lord started to lay things in place. And then just before she's planning to leave, she gets, you know, she got this great job. And she really enjoyed it. You know, everything, you know, she was performing so well in it. And then here's the Lord saying, go to New York. It's like, well, Lord, what about this job? Well, just a few days ago, her employer says, you know, we're so sorry to see you go. We don't want to let you go. So we're going to give you a job up north working from home for us doing the same thing. And it's as if the Lord confirming to her, look, this is what I have for you. This is the blessing of the Lord. You know, and so God is so good that He gives that confirmation to us. You know, and He wants to do that in our lives as we follow Him. Of course, sometimes we take steps of faith where it's like our foot's up, you know, and we're like, I don't know where it's going to land, but I'm just, Lord, I'm trusting you. But then as we do that, He speaks to us. He makes our pathway clear before us. Now, He doesn't promise He's going to show us a mile down the road, right? But He'll make our steps clear so we can walk in that pathway. And so David was very careful to do that with the Lord. Lord, show me the way. How should I fight my battles? Lord, how do I overcome in this situation? And he always inquired of the Lord. You know, one of the things about the founder of our fellowship, Pastor Bailey, is that was his practice. In fact, his secretary once told us he prays about everything. And when she meant everything, she said everything. Right? Every decision that he made. I mean, I don't know if it was about his toothpaste that the brand they used or not. But you know, if he had to make a decision, Lord, what do you think? And that just governed the way of his life. And it was effective. In fact, I still remember a story that Pastor Jason shared that he had an experience with Pastor Bailey. And he was in Bible school, and there were a group of them playing chess. And Pastor Bailey used to be a big chess player. And so, you know, he was just commenting on the game and so forth. And so, you know, Jason said, would you like to play a game of chess? And this was his response, which really stuck with me. He said, oh, I don't play games. I ask the Lord what to do, and He tells me, and I never lose. Now, that's a good way to live life, isn't it? How would you like to never lose in life? Now, it doesn't mean that you never go through difficulty or it doesn't appear like you're losing because you don't know the way you're going and you're facing opposition. But yet God always brought him through. Because God, he inquired of God and God showed him the way to go. And he trusted in him. That became the pattern of his life. And that was like a rock for us because we knew, oh, well, if we don't know what to do, Pastor Bailey, he knows how to inquire of the Lord and he knows the way to go and he can share that with us. That epitomized Pastor Bailey's life, and it can epitomize our life as well as we inquire of the Lord and cry out to him. And so we want to make that our cry as David, Lord, teach me your ways. Show me the way that you want me to go, and I'll head that way as we cry out to him. Now, the second thing David said in this is, I will walk in thy truth. And that's an important thing. Right. Once we've received the instruction, we have to walk in it. Right? It doesn't help us if we know the way to go and then we don't go in it. And so there's that step of obedience. And the idea implied in this phrase is that we give ourselves wholly, totally unto what God has for us and to what he speaks to us. David, it's like he made a determination. Lord, whatever you speak, I will walk in that. Now, it wasn't boastful. You know, sometimes we're scared to say that, I will, because we're not sure if we can trust ourselves to do it. But yet, it was almost as, Lord, if you show me the way, and the implication is, you give me the grace to do it, I will walk in your way. And you know, there has to be that determination. We have to make that declaration. If it's like, maybe I'll walk in your way, a lot of times we're not going to do it. We'll choose something else, because that other way is always easier. God's way is usually, it's not always the easiest one. He never promised it would be the easy way. In fact, he promised the other way. Like, right? The way of the righteous is straight and narrow. It's a little confining. But you know, once we get out the other side, it's wide. It's beautiful. It's rich. Because it's his kingdom. And so we have to walk in the ways of God. There's another psalm where God gives David a promise that he would instruct him and he would show him the way. But he also gave him a warning. And this is in Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 32, 8 and 9 says, I will guide you and teach you in the way in which you shall go. I'll guide you with my eye. But don't be like the horse. Don't be like the mule. Right? Which have no understanding. And you have to put that bit and that bridle in their mouth to get them to go anywhere. And so that's what the Lord is saying. And, you know, sometimes the Lord says we're like sheep, that we can just, you know, respond to the voice of the shepherd and they follow him. But then he uses this comparison. Now, we think the horse is a majestic animal, but only when it's obedient, right? Horses can be obstinate if they have not been trained, and mules even more, right? That's what we think about with a mule, right? The mule, you try to pull a mule and it digs its heels in and it just won't go anywhere. So you got to put that bit in their mouth, and that's the only way you can get them moving. But the Lord is saying that. Don't let that be so in our lives. You think about Israel as a nation. You know, when you read about how they walk with God, they received that clear instruction, that direction through Moses, but how did they respond? Kind of like the mule. They had to have the bit and the bridle put in their mouths to pull them along the way. They didn't always go willingly. They can be stubborn at times. But, you know, Israel is a good picture of our nature, a nature that had to be tamed. There's some areas in us that have to be tamed. There's other areas that are just totally disobedient, and they have to be removed. They can't even go forward. And so God says, let me do some heart surgery and remove that stubbornness or that willingness in your heart, and I'll take that out and replace it with something good. And so the Lord says, I'll instruct you, I'll guide you, but don't be like that horse. Don't dig in your heels when you have your own way you want to go. We have to respond. We have to be sensitive to his voice and willing when we hear his voice. And I heard this story of this airplane that was trying to land at an airport. And it was kind of a smaller airport. And the problem was is there was fog. And so I don't know if you're familiar with fog with small airplanes can be pretty scary because they don't have the same instruments that the big airplanes have to land, you know, like we do, we're used to commercial airplanes. They can land in anything because they have GPS and radar and all that stuff. Well, this little plane didn't have that. But it was just clear enough that the tower said, we'll guide you in because we have radar and we know where you are. We'll guide you in. You just follow us. And the guy said, okay. But then he started to panic because he realized, you know, there's the pole there somewhere on the runway, at the end of the runway, and I don't know where it is. And so he started to say, I don't know if I can land. And then the tower gave him a blunt reply. This is what the tower said. He said, you obey instructions, and we will take care of obstructions. And sometimes that's how we follow God. Lord, I know you're telling me to say this, but I got this situation. What about that? If I follow you in that situation, I'm going to run right into it. Well, God says, you just follow me and I'll take care of the rest of that stuff. If you trust in me. You see, if we obey, he'll take care of any obstacles in our way. That's his speciality. He removes mountains. And then there was the last part that David shared. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Because even though we're willing, like we can say that with David, Lord, I'll walk in your truth. We know in the back of our minds, well, they still have some difficulties. Sometimes there's other desires and other things that I'm battling. Well, here's where we can win the battle. David prayed, Lord, unite my heart to fear your name. And the key is to have a heart that's fully united to one purpose, to following God, to obeying him and pleasing him. Of course, the problem is that we face divisions in our heart because and on one side of the coin, we have a desire to do this. And then on the other side, here's the desire God has planted in our hearts. And we want that and we receive it. Lord, yes, I want to do that. Oh, but I also want to do this. And there's that tug of war in our heart. And so the question is, which part is going to win? You know, Jesus said in Matthew 12:25, a house divided against itself will not stand. Right? If we can fight that battle for a while, but in the end, the other desire is always going to win unless we can meet God and surrender to him. And so one of the most important aspects to our relationship with God is to have a single heart, a heart that's not fighting against doing his will. That's not. Now, I want to make clear, we always have that nature, and we can't be disappointed if we feel that tug of war, right? Because that's just who we are. But God wants to lead us so that he always wins in our hearts. And that's why David is praying. David has that. He's facing that in his own heart, so he's crying out, Lord, unite my heart. He recognized, I've got some things in me that are going this way, when God, you're telling me to go that way. So, Lord, unite my heart to fear your name. And so David was praying that his heart will be united in the fear of the name of the Lord. Now, what's interesting about this is one of the anointings. Right? We've been talking about the anointings in Isaiah 11 and verse 2. Right? It's actually one of the seven anointings. It's the very last one. The anointing of the fear of the Lord. This was upon Christ himself when he was on earth. And it's something we can cry out for. It probably could have tacked this on as a, you know, another message on the anointing on that series. So we'll call this the conclusion of our series on the anointing. Because we need the anointing of the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Because it will keep us. It will protect us. It will preserve us in times of difficulty. And we can really see this in another psalm, Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verses 19 through 20. And it says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which you have laid up for them that fear thee. That you have prepared for those that trust in thee before the sons of men. You will hide them in the secret of your presence from the pride of man. You will keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. I love what it says about the fear of the Lord. It will hide you. It'll preserve you. It'll keep you when we walk in the fear of the Lord. And I was just looking at that word keep. We will be kept. And in the Hebrew, it actually, there's that sense of to be secretly watching over. And I was just kind of thinking of, you know, sometimes you see the rich and famous, you know, they're walking and behind them there's some guy in a suit or something. And you kind of get the sense, oh, they're walking there to protect them. Right? They've got a bodyguard. But, you know, that's almost the sense that has been given here, is that God will have a protector with us when we walk in the fear of the Lord. It's like it invites that protection to come over our lives, that maybe when the enemy comes and he's got some plans to try and turn us off the pathway or get us to stumble or fall, that protector is there to push him back and to protect us, put us, you know, direct us into the right way. And it's as if this fear of the Lord, it drives away and protects us from those wrong desires, those wrong decisions that want to come into our life to move us out of the way. Now, the fear of the Lord, it's much more than just fearing the wrath of God. In fact, it's so much more. You know, it's really comes down to fearing to do something that displeases Him. You know, fearing to disappoint Him. You know, you think about, you know, teachers. Some of the best teachers I had in school were not ones who, like, could explain it well, but they were ones who inspired me to want to learn, because I wanted to do well for them, because they were, you know, I felt like they were interested in me and invested. And so I wanted to do well for them, and it caused me to learn. Or maybe you could say, think of a sports team, right? Some of the best coaches are the ones that inspire their players to want to be good players for them. And that's really what the fear of the Lord is. It's striving to do your best because you don't want to fail that person. You want to please them. You want to do well for them and impress them. Now, I don't know about impressing God, but we sure can please Him. We can bring pleasure to His heart. We can delight His heart when we follow Him. And so the fear of the Lord can do that, can keep us as we cry out. And as I said, it's an anointing. And we could get a lot more into the fear of the Lord, but really, that's what we need to know. It's an anointing that can come upon our lives as we cry out for Him, as we cry out for more of His Spirit. Lord, would You cause Your Spirit of the fear of the Lord to come into my heart? Because it will protect us. It will drive away other desires. Sometimes we've got to be honest with ourselves and with God. Lord, I desire You, but yet I don't desire You because there's something in there that wants something else. Then what do? Lord, would You give me the fear of the Lord, that when those things come, I'll have a protection that will cause me to go in the right way. It'll protect me from those wrong desires or those wrong things. And they'll keep me in Your pathway. They'll cause me to walk in Your truth. You know, really the fear of the Lord is about loving and reverencing God and His ways. And God wants to give that anointing as we ask for it. And so let's come to the Lord as David did, right? When he faced his difficulties and his decisions he had to make, you know, Lord, I want to do the right thing. Show me the way to go. Teach me Your ways. Make my pathway plain and clear before me. He desires to do that. But we need to make that declaration, Lord, I will walk in Your truth. You know, the words that we need to declare in our hearts that we will obey Him. And then unite my heart to fear Your name. You know, as we embrace the anointing of the fear of the Lord, then we can enter into that fullness and that blessing. Because blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And Father, we just thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your great mercy, Lord. Lord, it does amaze us, Lord, of Your mercy and Your plan for us. Lord, You didn't just die for us, but Lord, You are ever living, Lord, to intercede for us and to help us and to be our strength and our shield and our protector. Oh God, to guard us in the way. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, as we have seen in David's life, that You would lead us in this way. Lord, show us the pathway of our life. Lord, give us grace to walk in that and to make that declaration, I will follow You. And Lord, that You would anoint us afresh. Lord, we cry out to You today. for a fresh anointing of the fear of the Lord, that we'd be kept in your way, that those things that are not pleasing to you, Lord, we would avoid them, and Lord, we'd do those things that please your heart. We ask, and we just thank you, we bless you. Oh Lord, bless your people today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.